Killed just about everything that walks or crawled at one time or another. And I'm here to kill you, little Bill. For what you did to Ned.
Clint Eastwood in Unforgiven. A staple scene in hundreds of westerns. Frontier justice. It settled shit quick. And was a great deterrent against further misbehavior. Well, of course it required violence. Lots and lots of violence. But we love violence, don't we? Brutal sacks in football, NASCAR crashes, fistfights in the stands, and oh, the movies, the TV, the video games. Years ago, some propeller heads tried to quantify television violence, and the numbers were breathtaking. By the time the average American kid was 12, he or she had viewed more than 8,000 murders on television. Those were pretend murders faked by stuntmen. But for quite some time now, we get to watch real murders, almost in real time, thanks to ubiquitous surveillance cameras and social media. From Nick Berg's beheading by ISIS to Ryan Carson, social justice warrior, who decided to confront a knife-wielding psycho at 4 a.m. on a Brooklyn street and wound up perforated and dead. The media uses all kinds of adjectives to describe violence. The most idiotic, and you hear it all the time, is brutal. Brutal rape, brutal beating, brutal murder. When are those acts ever gentle? Their second favorite adjective is senseless.
A senseless killing.
But that depends on who dies and who does the killing, doesn't it? Listen to cackling hag Hill Clinton take credit for engineering the very brutal murder of Libyan strongman Gaddafi. There's another sleazy descriptor. If they like a politician, he's a leader. If they don't, he's a strongman or a despot. Anyway, here she is, positively gleeful about a very brutal murder.
As we came, we saw, he died.
Did it have anything to do with your visit?
No, I'm sure it did.
When Gaddafi was captured by a mob, he was beaten to a bloody pulp, dragged down the road, stripped, and then they shoved a bayonet up his ass. And it was a laugh riot to the then United States Secretary of State and future presidential candidate. Strangely, she never used the words brutal or murder or senseless. For her, and politicians and governments, killing, whether some so-called strongman on the other side of the world or entire cities in Japan, well, it always makes perfect sense. Nothing senseless about those. Violence is a fascinating thing, a conundrum, a dichotomy. It can be applauded as good and necessary and righteous, or condemned as a heinous crime. But of late, the lines between violence and justice and who gets to be violent and when, they're terribly muddied. Awash in deceit, political bullshit. Commies claim that words are violence, that no one has the right to defend themselves. Commies have even more thoroughly distorted the word justice. Now they apply it to anything. Climate justice, environmental justice, income justice. Of course, that's ridiculous bullshit. But there's a reason they do it. It's so they can criminalize those who disagree. Everyone wants justice, right?
What do you mean you don't want climate justice? You must be a criminal.
We're going to fire up the water cannon and hose away some commie bullshit and hopefully give them aneurysms in the process. Hang on.
The safari park.
You're killing me, Larry!
Larry. Fucking Larry.
Larry from That Larry Show.
For men with balls.
Take off your pants.
Larry, get into bed now.
Larry.
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 That number of murders viewed by kids watching TV, well, that was a pittance. Today, it's incalculable. With video games, we pull the trigger. So they would have to change the survey from witnessed murder to committed murder, albeit digitally. In the 1970s, some 15-year-old kid killed the 82-year-old woman next door. The kid's attorney defended him with the argument that he suffered from, quote, television intoxication, unquote. That he had witnessed so much violence on the tube, he was no longer able to distinguish right from wrong. The jury convicted the kid of first-degree murder. Human violence has become so ubiquitous that now violence in the animal world is en vogue. Seems every time I click on Facebook or X, I'm watching a Komodo dragon with the head of a live monkey lodged halfway down his gullet as the primate suffocates and kicks his hind legs. Or it's a lion with his jaws crushing the throat of a bison as it staggers in agony. I always click away well before the grisly denouement. But before I do, I invariably have the same thought, and that is, placing the muzzle of a 12-gauge to the skull of the predator and blowing his head into a pink mist of blood and bone. And then repeating the best line of all from the movie Scarface, when Tony Montana, a hyper-violent character but not without scruples, he puts his gun to the head of a man who is about to detonate a bomb in a car containing innocent children. After Tony splatters the would-be assassin's brains, he caps his violence with the perfect statement.
Why, you stupid fuck! Look at you now!
Yes, you stupid fuck. Look at you now. Yeah, I know all about letting nature take its course, but that's the way I feel about it. An unfair fight is never fun and hard to watch. So most of us have kind of a push-pull love-hate relationship with violence. It's fun to view and depicted in over-the-top, cartoonish ways. When Mo pokes Larry in the eye with forked fingers, or Curly gets a crowbar bent over his shaved skull. But we know it's not real, and that's why it's funny. But when it is real, it's never funny. And if you're a participant, it's horrible. But when it depicts some evil predator getting his comeuppance, well, few scenes are more satisfying. Something strange is happening with violence and its place in our culture. Entertainment is still saturated with it. Hollywood didn't get rich on romance, it got rich on violence. But now, real violence is condemned or condoned depending on who commits it. And the word itself has been distorted. Now, words are violence. Gestures are violence. School children are expelled from schools because they make finger guns. The way you look at someone is considered violence on some campuses. When Kyle Rittenhouse shot armed people, make that child molesting wife beating garbage. When he shot the predators who were trying to kill him, Rittenhouse was characterized as a violent, trigger-happy vigilante. He was tried in court. Very nearly lost his freedom for life for the act of defending himself. Despite the not guilty verdict, his life is ruined. He'll never have a normal life. When Michael Byrd, an obese government security guard with a history of negligence, he was disciplined for leaving his pistol in a toilet. When Byrd shot an unarmed woman who was climbing through a window at the Capitol, well, he was hailed as a hero for defending the
Temple of Democracy.
For many months, his identity was concealed by his employers. They claimed there was an investigation, but it was never shared with the public. When the government made his name public, Congress and the media hailed Byrd as a hero. He even hailed himself as a hero.
I know that day I saved countless lives.
He also boasted about his own courage.
I believe I showed the utmost courage on January 6th.
Wow. He does not suffer from a self-esteem deficit, does he? Fast forward a few years and it seems things did not go down as Byrd and the Capitol Police claimed. Tom Fitton filed a FOIA request, and the Metropolitan D.C. Police had to hand over 500 pages of their investigation that asserted Byrd was not justified in killing Ashley Babbitt. Don't hold your breath waiting for an indictment. Byrd plays for the winning team. When major cities were burned and looted, and innocents injured and killed during the 2020 riots, those riots were called mostly peaceful protests. There were virtually no arrests or prosecutions. When some disgruntled citizens trespassed at the Capitol on January 6th, well, that became a deadly insurrection. Even though the only death was that unarmed woman shot by Michael Hero Byrd. Those trespassers were hunted down, and what the Justice Department gloated was the largest manhunt in history. And so it goes. From everyday people, unhappy about the way an election was conducted, to the guy who was running for office. He now faces 91 different felony charges from various Soros-appointed DAs. The total in-your-face weaponization of justice to take down a very, very popular, some polls now indicate the most popular presidential candidate. At this point, those who believe there is justice in our justice system are either stupid or very uninformed. There has been a coup in this country. The levers of power in government, business, academia, law enforcement, and the military are now in the hands of leftists, socialists, and communists. The odds of this being reversed by an election? They're slim and none. As the show trials against the January 6th protesters and for the 45th president have proven, if you challenge the authority of the regime at any level, you do so at your peril. There will be consequences for mere disagreement. Not only has the definition of violence been deformed, its victims have been organized into a caste system of protected classes. People are now afforded protection under the law depending on their race, sexual preference, occupation, and more. Well, that doesn't sound very equitable at all, does it? Shouldn't justice be blind? Isn't all human life supposed to be valuable? Not anymore. Some groups are much more valuable than others. How did this happen? Well, it may have started in prisons. Convicts doing life sentences were killing guards willy-nilly. Since they were already jailed forever, what was the downside? As a deterrent, they made killing a guard a capital offense. But when the street cop unions heard that, it was game on. They demanded parity, and it's been snowballing ever since. So now we've got this crazy tiered system of justice for protected classes, and if you're not a member of one of those classes and you become a crime victim, good luck. Hope you're friends with Batman. One of the favorite pejoratives of the left is the term frontier justice. They hate it for many reasons. One, it undermines the power of government. In outlying areas of the Old West, there was often no sheriff, so people were very polite, and sometimes justice was meted out by an aggrieved party or a posse. Sometimes it was correct and sometimes not. Well, you can't have that in a so-called civilized society. Now, everything must be cycled through the system. You defend yourself at your own risk. About 35 states have stand-your-ground laws, which commie pussies call shoot-first laws. Commie states, on the other hand, have duty-to-retreat laws, which basically made it illegal to defend yourself from an attacker. You must run away. But the law doesn't address the possibility that the attacker might be faster than the victim. Those duty-to-retreat places are just where you'd imagine. Connecticut, Delaware, Hawaii, Maine, Maryland, Massachusetts, Minnesota, Nebraska, New Jersey, New Mexico, New York, Rhode Island, Vermont, Virginia, Washington, and Wisconsin. That all applies to self-defense. What about the defensive, the defenseless? Here's a clip from Tucker Carlson, which was actually the catalyst for this episode.
This. If someone says to you, I have a right to make your children hate you, or to say weird, creepy sex stuff to your kids, what's a valid response to that? Well, in a healthy society, if someone says weird, creepy sex stuff to your eighth grader, you get your gun. Like, try that in Bulgaria. How do you think that's gonna work? I mean it, too. Oh, you're calling for violence? Yeah. You try and sexualize my children? What? Those are my children. That's totally not allowed. That's not, that nothing like that is allowed. And I don't care if you claim you're a teacher or an administrator, you work for some creepy Soros-backed NGO. If you're trying to sexualize my children, I go right to force. And if I can't do that, I'm not really their father, am I? I'm serious. And I don't think there's anything to be ashamed of in that. And no, I'm not calling for, I'm calling for applying natural law to American life. And if you refuse to do that, what happens? Well, we're watching what happens. They become increasingly aggressive.
Now, any parent can relate to his statement. If someone tries to harm your kid in any way, hell yeah, force is justified. But not according to your government. In 19 states, teachers are legally permitted to hit kids. But we've all watched videos of irate parents being silenced at school board meetings when they dare to complain about policies affecting their kids. We've seen nonviolent parents thrown to the floor, handcuffed, and arrested by school cops, haven't we? Yes, we have. We've seen far too many times, like in Columbine and Parkland, Florida, Uvalde, Texas, where those same cops did nothing to stop school shooters, but were very forceful in preventing parents from saving their own kids. Sickening, fucked up, horrific. Were there any consequences for the Columbine cowards, or Uvalde or Parkland? No. There were not. In fact, school cop Scott Peterson was recently exonerated of all charges of dereliction of duty, and he's now free to enjoy his six-figure pension for the rest of his cowardly life. Why is this happening? Because the very foundation of leftism is the denial of human nature, denial of the instinctual right to defend yourself or your kids, to have private property, to keep what you earn, to raise a family according to your moral code, not that of the state. Tucker's talk was refreshing, with the simple premise that if you hurt my kids, I'll hurt you. But then he backpedaled somewhat, had to cover himself legally when he said this.
If you're trying to sexualize my children, I go right to force. And if I can't do that, I'm not really their father, am I? I'm serious. And I don't think there's anything to be ashamed of in that. And no, I'm not calling for, I'm calling for applying natural law to American life.
Law enforcement used to say, looters will be shot on sight. Not anymore. Now smash and grab mobs, pepper spray, or tase department store security guys, and then clean out tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars in merchandise. What would happen if one of those security guys drew his weapon and... Oh, look at that! Two looters down! Well, what would happen is the guard would go to jail, and the merchant would be sued into bankruptcy. And leftist district attorneys would smile and say,
no property is worth a human life.
Which is not true. Because the original property is your own body. But according to several states, you do not have the right to protect even that property. If it was again legal to shoot looters on sight, smash and grabs would cease instantly. If child molesters knew they'd be beaten or killed by parents instead of coddled, treated by courts, they do a lot less molesting. Cause and effect. Nothing mysterious about it. America has arrived at this debased status because of leftists in control. But no matter how many of them bleed out on sidewalks after being stabbed by the criminals they protect, they will never, ever reverse course. Because communism is, in the end, a religion. Which is why it must destroy legitimate religions. There shall be no power above that of the almighty state. Frontier justice vanished with the encroachment of government. And so did freedom. Is it ever coming back? We'll see. Thanks for hanging with me once again. It's always great to be with you. Slide over to thatlarryshow.com for hundreds of other episodes, and while you're there, click the subscribe button so you never miss one. Leave a 5-star review wherever you download. It really helps the show grow. So if you really like what you just heard, help me keep the show going. Click the Patreon or PayPal button and make a pledge. Or show your support via the U.S. mail. The address is right there on the homepage at thatlarryshow.com. My friends, our freedoms are evaporating like puddles in the desert. And without freedom, America will be just another shithole country. Hold the line, stay focused, and keep your powder dry. I'll see you next Wednesday or thereabouts, and until that time, take no shit.